Tonight's topic is a very sensitive topic, and it's a complicated topic, and I am putting a disclaimer down that I'm not rendering any decisions on the topic. I'm just sharing with you what the topic has to offer, and the topic that we're going to be discussing is the role of a mechitza in the shul. But Lee Nedder next week will dabble a little bit more into expanding mechitza to other things. Let's say, for example, an event, chasanos and the like. But for now, we're going to just focus on the role of mechitza in shul. That itself is complicated enough, and we'll deal with all the subcategories of that as well. So, you go into any Orthodox shul today, and it's a given you're going to find a mechitza. It might look different ways, it might be configured in different shapes, but today, pretty much any Orthodox shul you'll find has a mechitza. And if you ask anyone, I'm talking about knowledgeable people, ask them, where does it say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have a mechitza in the shul for men and women? The answer is nowhere. It's an amazing thing. It's one of the mysteries of tonight's shir. Is it's essential to every Orthodox shul, and every Orthodox person davens in a shul with a minyan, with a mechitza, but it's nowhere to be found on the pages of Shulchan Aruch. It's not even found explicitly in the Rishonim. So that obviously is a very strange thing. Something as important as mechitzas, which we'll get to tonight, is something that is not even found on the open pages of Shulchan Aruch. And again, the reason why I find this topic fascinating, besides for its halachic significance, we'll see its impact on history. Throughout the years and centuries of Klal Yisrael's existence, we'll see how the mechitza became an interesting topic. So let's start off like this. There is a Mishnah in Sukkah that is very, very important, and a Gemara in Sukkah, which is one of the most important sources that we need to see for the topic of mechitza. And it's not talking about davening. It's actually a Mishnah that's discussing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Mishnah says in Sukkah, Dafnan Aleph Amid Beis, everyone knows that line in the Mishnah, that whoever didn't see the Simchas Beis HaShoeva never saw real joy. But that's not the line that we need for tonight's show. We need the next line in the Mishnah. So Motze Yom Tov of the first days, in preparation for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Yordu LeEzras Nashim. They used to go down to the Ezras Nashim, Umetaknin Shom Tikun Gadol. And they did, in the Ezra's Noshin, they did some amazing takana. They did some massive accomplishment. So the Gemara asks in Sukkah, right under the line, says the Gemara, my tikkun gadol, what did they do so significantly, so important in the Ezra's Noshin? Omer Rebbe Eliezer, ka'oysa sheshenu, like we learned, chol ka'oysa berishayin, originally it was a smooth area in the Ezra's Noshin, ve'kifu gizutira, and they built a balcony. They built some form of a second layer, second floor for the women to go. Explains the Gemara. V'eskino, they were misakin, shiu noshim yosheves milamala. And they put the women on the upstairs seating. They put the women in the balcony. V'anoshim milamato. And the men would stay on the lower floor. So what was the big takkan they made? That for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they built a balcony so the women should sit in the balcony and the men should sit on the main floor. Now the Gemara explains. Tana Rabbanan. But Rishayna originally, the women were in the inner circle, and the men were the outside. There was no mechitza. There were just two groups of men and women together. And the Gemara says, and this led to lightheadedness. There was intermingling between the two genders. Okay, intermingling between the two genders is not a new problem. It existed during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And they said this can't work. So therefore, Hiskino, they made a takonish, Yonoshim Yosheves Mibachotz, Vanoshim Mifim. So the women will sit on the outside, and the men will be on the inside. And this way, there'll be no intermingling. The Gemara says that didn't work. Vadayin Haibam De Kalas Roish. That also didn't work. So Hiskino, they made a takonish, Yonoshim Yosheves Milamala. So they decided we can't have men and women on the same floor. Because men and women on the same floor is just not working. It's causing, there's schmoozing, there's intermingling. We gotta separate the men from the women. So what did they do? They built a balcony. Heskin, the men at the corner, she unoshim, yeshevas milamalov, anoshim milamato. So this was the big takona that he made at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, because there was a big problem of intermingling at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the way they circumvented was they tried having men and women at different parts, it just didn't work. So they decided, we gotta get the men away from them, we gotta separate them. So how do you separate them? You put them on a second level, on the balcony. So they built like this balcony where the women would be up, the men would be low down. We stopped the problem. But Frag the Gemara, how can they do that? The Hechi Ovid Hachi, how can they build onto the Beis HaMikdash? Vaksim, it says in the Pasuk, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem Olai Haskel. Everything was built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They couldn't just start. It's not like your house that you decide you want to make an addition, so you hire a contractor and you build an extra floor. This was the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have no right to start building onto it at whim. So who gave them the right to do all this new construction? Can you imagine getting a permit to do this type of construction in the Beis HaMikdash, right? But you have no right. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Kro Ashkechei. No, they found the pasuk that permitted them to do this emergency building in the Beis HaMikdash. What's the pasuk? It says v'softa arvis mishpachis mishpachis levad, that they were giving a eulogy, and in the eulogy, the situation of the eulogy was mishpachis mishpachis levad. Mishpachas based David Levad Unishayim Levad. When there was a eulogy, the Gemara is going to have a machloikis who the eulogy was for. Was the eulogy for Mashiach ben Yosef? Was the eulogy for the Yetzirah? But at the time of eulogy, there was separate seating. So says the Gemara, they made the following observation. Amru, v'aloi dorem kavuchaymu. Umala asad love when the Mashiach is going to come. Shasukim behespid. We're talking about a hespid. Right? Every funeral is depressing, right? V'ein Yetzirah shalep, and there's no major taiva to intermingle at a levaya, and still Amra Torah noshim levad v'noshim levad, and still the pasuk says they had to have separate seating. Achshav shasukim b'simcha v'Yetzirah shalep, and now at the Simchas Beis Shreva, where it's a freilicha time, it's a happy time, and the Yetzirah is kicking in. Alachas kama v'kama, isn't it goes without saying you have to have some form of a separation? Therefore, says the Gemara, that's how they knew that it was permitted for them to build onto the Beis HaMikdash to build a balcony. Ad kan the Gemara. Now, this is the entire Gemara that we have in Chazal about separation between the genders, Pashtas, and it's not talking about during the Avening. It's talking about during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which was obviously a very exciting time, which maybe we can compare it today to our Hakafas at best, or maybe at a Chasana today. Assuming we'll have to get to all these things. But Zog the Gemara, that what it was okay for them to build on to the balcony, because they figured we need to do it. Ad kan the Gemara. So this is a essential Gemara. Because we'll see that the Gedolim of our generation, Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron Cutler, who wrote extensively on the topic of Mechitzas, as did other, we'll see tonight quite a few pieces from Rabbi Soloveitchik. He had a very, very strong opinion on Mechitzas. Rav Cook wrote many letters about Mechitzas. We'll see that Mechitzas has always been something over the years that Klai Yisrael always, often at times, were not so careful with, and the Gedolim always had to bring it back. So, let's start like this. The Marsha, number two, is Tamaze bother with something on the Gemara. The Gemara had a kasha. It says in the Torah, it says in the Pasuk that you're not allowed to add on to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So what did the Gemara answer? Well, they had a raya from a Pasuk. But again, you're not allowed, you're right, the Yetzirah is shailut and you have to behave yourself. But what gives you the right to build on to the Beis HaMikdash still? So the Mashal explains in number two. He says over here, Pirish Rashi, Shalai Yovali De Kilkul, Dr. Masha, you know when you're not allowed to build onto the Beis HaMikdash? That's if you're doing it for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But over here, that wasn't the purpose of the building. The whole reason for this building was not to make the Beis HaMikdash bigger, to make the Beis HaMikdash nicer, or to... When you're building onto the Beis HaMikdash because you want to improve the look of the Beis HaMikdash, then you're not allowed to. But Zog Demar Asho, that's not why they did this. The entire purpose of this building had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It had to do with Klal Yisrael should not be over Averis. So therefore, says Demar Asho, because that this building was only done for the sake of ensuring that Klal Yisrael doesn't do Averis, that's why it was not included in the prohibition of adding on to the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. What was wrong? I know that sounds almost like a funny question, but what was wrong if Klal Yisrael would have mingled? What were they doing wrong? The Gemara says that we had to break up the parties because what were they doing wrong and what was the balcony supposed to fix? Now, why is this important question? Because if you're assuming that this is the mekar for why we have a mechitz and shul, it's going to be very important to figure out, well, what's the mechitz and shul supposed to be accomplishing? So there's a very important machloikis with Shainim over here. The Rambam of Pirshei Mishnayos in number three writes, Rotzoloimar, Gadol hatayeles v'hu. What was the purpose of this balcony building? They had individual seating. Why? Says the Rambam, Pirshei Mishnayos, you know why we put the women up in the balcony? It's because we're not worried about schmoozing, we're worried about looking. Shalayistaklu ha'anoshim binoshim. Zokti Rambam, the purpose of this balcony seating was not so you can't talk to your wife or someone else's wife, right? The purpose was so you can't stare at them. So this is going to be very important when we discuss the modern day mechitza, is to see, well, if the purpose of the mechitza is so you shouldn't see the women, so the balcony mechitzas don't exactly accomplish too much, right? In many of the shuls where they had the balcony, all you got to do is move your head and you can see all the women that you want to see. But the Rambam Pirshei Mishnayos at least is assuming that what the issue over here was histaklus, steering. Now again, histaklus doesn't mean to see. Histaklus means to gaze. So it's very shy that you can have a balcony where the women are so far away that you can see them, you can make out that that's a lady, but you can't really see them or stare at them. However, there are, and this is found in other Rishayim as well. If you look in the Taisa Rosh Mesechah Sanhedrin, the Taisa Rosh also says, V'yavagav the perak acholu ka'ami de'kifu ezras noshim gizutrois, that in the ezras noshim they put a balcony. Why? K'deishalei staklu b'noshim. So we shouldn't stare at the women. So according to this pshat in the Rishayim, the issue was steering. However, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchas Lulav, as well as the Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaBechira, he seems to say something differently. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchas Lulav, the Rambam writes, Ava b'shekol ha'mayadeis, number 5, Ava b'shekol ha'mayadeis mitzvah l'smayach ben, even though all holidays are supposed to be festive, b'chag ha'sukkos, ha'isa b'migdash yom simcha yiseo, we all know, Sukkos was the most festive holiday, she'em ha'smach b'vnei Hashem l'kechem. The Kate said, ha'yu oisim, what would they do? So Erev Yom Tov Rishon, they would have a special place for the women. Milmala above. Ulanosha milmata. Why? So you shouldn't mix. So the issue is not about seeing, it's about mixing. Then you look at the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBechira, number 6, the Rambam says, Ezras HaNoshim Ha'isam Mukefis Gezutra, the Ezras Noshim, that was the women's section in the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't allowed into the regular Azara, they had a Mukefis Gezutra, they were with some form of a balcony, Kedeshiyu HaNoshim Royes Milmala, Va'anoshim Milmaton, Kedeshiyu Yemuravin. So here the Rambam sounds like it wasn't an issue of seeing the opposite gender, but it was an issue of mixing with the opposite gender. Now, what's the simplest nafkamina? What happens if you have a mechitza that you can see? Let's say the balcony. When you put the women in the balcony, you can't really mix with them, right? They're 5 feet above you, but you can see them. So that will be another to deal with more next week. A famous machloikis between the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Moshe. This is one of the fundamental machloikis between Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe. To what was the purpose of the mechitza? Again, this is all assuming that our mechitza is tailor made from this mechitza. And therefore, we're debating that if the purpose of the mechitza is so you shouldn't see the women, then you mamash have to have a wall of China up there. You can't have a see-through mechitza. You can't have a mechitza with any cracks. You mamash have to have a wall that you can't see the opposite gender. Mashaykh, if the purpose of the mechitza was shaloi yis'arvu, you shouldn't mix with them, so then the balcony is fine. I'm sitting here, I'm watching my wife during davening. Who said you can't watch your wife during davening? You can't come too close to your wife. So then a mechitza that is a balcony would accomplish it. Again, I'm just getting to it now because it's the Hakdama to the sugya, but this is something B'li Neder I hope to get to more in depth next week.
Right now it's only in the context of Simcha.
Right, exactly. If we were to stop right here, we'd have no reason to think this has anything to do with the modern day Mechitza. This is very nice in the Beis HaMikdash, Simcha Beis HaShoeva. What does that have to do with while I'm sitting, Shabbos morning in Shul? That's what we need to get to. So we'll start off with Rav Moshe's Tshuva. Rav Moshe wrote many tshuvas, quite a few tshuvas about this topic. And again, I apologize, the print is a little small because I wanted to get the whole page, but we're going to go through Rav Moshe first. So let's start with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked the shaila in Tov Shin Vav, 1946. Okay? Just to put it in a historical perspective. 1946, obviously, the Jewish world looked very different in 1946 than it does Baruch Hashem today in 2021. But 1946, he was asked by Rav David Stern, who was a menal in Torah V'das. Fine. He asked the following shaila. He asked Rav Moshe to explain the topic of mechitza, that you need to have between men and women in the shul. The kam hu shir gavaya. How high does the mechitza have to be? Aliba de hilchasa. Why? Because there are certain communities they're starting to break down the idea of a mechitza, and they don't think they're doing anything wrong, but it's only because they don't understand the severity. Meaning, they're being lax with mechitza because they don't realize how important mechitza is. So basically, he's asking Rav Moshe, please elaborate to the importance of the mechitza. Now again, you're going to have a very hard time elaborating on something which is not found in Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Moshe, again, I apologize for the small print. Rav Moshe says like this, Hine. This is Rav Moshe's step number one in the sugya of mechitza. Says Rav Moshe, Hine etzim adin, let's say you have a shul that's very big. Very big. And you put the women on one side and the men on the other side. We're not talking about what they call today family seating. We're talking about separate seating. You have a big shul, you know, take, you know, young Israel, big shul, you put the men on the left side. They're all on the same floor. Just separate sides. Zakti of Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, men and women davening together without a mechitza is an iser deraisa. Someone asked me about this year. They were having some form of an outdoor minyan, and they wanted to have just an outdoor minyan, men in the front and women in the back. So Rav Moshe, it's an iser deraisa. Not only is it an iser deraisa, we're going to see that the consensus of all the Gedolei Acharonim is, you're not even allowed to daven there, even on Rosh Hashanah. We'll see an amazing psak, a very famous psak from Rabbi Soloveitchik. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. But that's an issa deraisa, Dr. Moshe. What do you mean? It's separate seating, Dr. Moshe. Separate seating is also mid deraisa. Wow. Weird. Where does it say in the Torah? It says in the Torah that you're not allowed to have mixed seating. It says in the Torah maybe you're not allowed to have, you know, other things with regarding to women. But mixed seating in the shul? It doesn't even say the concept of shul in the Torah. We only have a base of mikdash in the Torah. So this is what all the Achronim grapple with. Again, they're all working backwards. Mechitzas have been around since we had shuls. But the problem is, where's the sources for it? Again, you're not going to find an Orthodox shul today that doesn't have mechitza. And it's not just now. We're going to prove it. I'll show you that mechitzas have been around for many, many years. But where? Vushtate? Where does it say it? And not only that, I'm going to prove to you tonight that the Achronim went so far with mechitzas that you wouldn't even imagine. Yet they're going so far with something that doesn't even have a basis for it. So what's going on with this? Zot Rav Moshe. Zot Rav Moshe v'raya misuka daf nun alef. Says Rav Moshe, I'll prove it to you from the Gemara in Sukkah. Why? Zot Rav Moshe shehok shebegemar the Gemara had a kasha ala gezutra. She'asu bezus noshim emotzi yom tov erishin shalchag. Rav Moshe says, the Gemara had a kasha about the building that they did. And the Gemara says, how is it mutter? So the Gemara answered because they have a pasuk in Navi. I'm just skipping a few lines. Upashit. Zot Rav Moshe. Shekavonas hateretu shelchenu kimefurish etzarech lasis haziziv agizutro. Rav Moshe learned the Gemara's teretz a little different than the Marsha. He bavarns the Marsha. I'm not saying Rav Moshe didn't know the Marsha. Rav Moshe says, what was the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer was, we needed to build this because of intermingling. I thought you're not allowed to add on to the additions. Zokt Rav Moshe, it's ki'il the Torah says that I allow such an addition. Says Rav Moshe, this is like the Torah saying that you need to have this. This is essential for the base that makes their survival. If this would only be Nisa the Rabbanan to sit in a room with separate seating, you can't tell me that this is what the Torah meant when it said that this is the way I want you to build the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, Zot Rav Moshe, the Raya is like this. If the whole din of being in a room together with the opposite gender and needing mechitza would only be midrabanan, how can you tell me that when the pasuk says that you're not allowed to add on to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it's somehow included in this midrabanan? Again, this is not like the Marsha's pshat. According to the Marsha, this is not the pshat. But Zot Rav Moshe, it's like you have to read the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is that because mechitza is so essential, it's Kilu Hashem himself said, this is the way I want you to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's your Moshe wanted me. But if the whole Mechitza is only Din Rabbanan, how can you tell me this is the way Hashem wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be built? As far as Hashem's concerned, you don't need a Mechitza. Elamai, Zot Rav Moshe, it must mean that it's an Issa Deraisa. So that's your Moshe, I'm just reading the last El Tzarech Lemeshu, Issa Medaraisa, Ulechenu Memelo, Kimifurish, Tzarech Lazi, Zizin, Uviz Gdrois, Avshalin Emer, Zai, Denevim, Bakol Bechsa. So that's your Moshe, it's Behechuch, this is the way Hashem wanted you to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Moshe assumes that not having a mechitza is a violation of an issa deraisa. Then Rav Moshe goes further. He says he has a raya from Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi says, sha'osu atikin b'hoisof al abinyam imi lomdu. How do they know, the Gemara Yerushalmi has the same kasha, how do they know they're allowed to add on to the Beis HaMikdash? So Yerushalmi, they learned it from Midvar Torah. They learned it from the Torah. The concept of mechitza is called a deraisa. Okay, so Ramosha Feinstein says, we have arrived from a Gemara in Sukkah that the concept of mechitza, at least at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, is a concept of mideraisa. Rabbi Aaron Cutler was...
How can we say that if Hashem wanted there to be a mechitza, we go through all the details of the Beis HaMikdash and all of a sudden we're saying he forgot to add the mechitza?
So that's a good kasha. The assumption has to be is that Hashem originally thought we'd be able to control ourselves without it. And then Hashem said, it's not working. We need to do something better. So, okay, you got to do this. You got to do what you need to do to ensure that the proper... the respect is shown. Rabbi Aaron Cutler was also one of the great Gedolim who worked tirelessly also on the topic of Mechitza. So here I have for you it's the Sefer's called Chedushei Torah, where they printed different letters, articles that Rabbi Aaron Cutler wrote. This is an article that Rabbi Aaron Cutler wrote about Mechitza. It doesn't have a date on it, but again, we know what Rabbi Aaron was nifted in the 60s, so we're going back before he died, I think he died in 1962, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going back sometime before then. Rabbi Aaron was in America between 1940, we're talking about the 20 years Rabbi Aaron presumably was in America between 1940 and 1962. Dr. Baron, he quotes our Gemara in Sukkah, and he says, okay, so what does that have to do with the shul? The million-dollar question. You found me a Gemara in Sukkah that says that you have to have a Mechitza during Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What does that have to do with the shul? My shul is not a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Zot Baron. Very, very... The Baron has a bunch of shtickles. I only photocopied a few. Because this was part one and we're already up to 30-something Ma'amar Kermis, so I had to only pick a few. But the Baron has about 13 points he makes to why you have to have a Mechitza. And he starts off like a Moshe about the Gemara in Sukkah. Zot Baron. Number 8, on the left side, Zok Baron. He quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, right? He says, Ad kam be Gemara. Zok Baron. Kavu choymer ben benoisha, kavu choymer ben mikdash. Says the Baron, one second. If in the base of mikdash, I had to have all these, you know, mechitzas in line. Zok Baron, it's a kavu choymer. In the mikdash, I could do shasay umayre godel moid. There was a certain reverence in the base of mikdash. And every single time you were in the Beis HaMikdash, constantly there were 10 miracles daily in the Beis HaMikdash. Zagdur Baron, one second. It's like you read the Gemara and you say to yourself, we're in the Beis HaMikdash, at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and Bnei Yisrael are, you know, intermingling. Says, what's going on over here? We're talking about the holiest place in the world. Zagdur Baron, and I'm speaking. The holiest place in the world, and the holiest location, we need to behave. So Zok Baron, if that's true, so Kol Shekein Ben Benoi Shekav Chaymer in the shul, Mikamokim Ro Kinochus Latakin Dafka Bederka Zutra Avshagam Mikoydim Loya Beruvya. This was a new problem. Ubedar Azeshi Aradnu Rabbis Rabbis Madregas Achreinus Bechol Apratim. Says Ramesha, says Rabbaron, and Kol Shekein, every generation we get weaker and weaker and schwacher, we definitely need to have some form of a preventative measure in our shuls. That's step number one, says Rabbi Aaron. Then Rabbi Aaron brings a bunch of rayas that you see that there is a concept that Kedushas Basic Nesses is doimit to Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. He brings a raya from a halacha and some Kuf Nun Beis. It says, also list our dover me Basic Nesses. You're not allowed to destroy something from a shul. It's like you broke a stone from the Hechel. What do you mean? What does my shul have to do with the Hechel? Says Rabbi Aaron, Hare Lehejo. So Rabbi Aaron, I see from this halacha, then he quotes the famous Gemara Megillah. You see that the Chazal even call a shul a mikdash ma'at, and therefore Zokter Baron, it's poshut that the Beis Hamikdash needed a mechitza, the shul needs a mechitza. Then he brings another interesting raya from a Ramah in Hilchas Mila. We know if you've ever been to a Pris Mila, so we have this process called kvater. Kvater is a dual partnership between the husband and the wife, and the wife brings the baby X point, and then the father brings the baby the rest. It actually says in Halach and Ramah, it says what? Zokter Reb Aaron, number Gimel. Ramah b'yardeh esem reis amachay, before shlifi minigah kadmoinim, sham milo hois beis haknesses. The milo used to be in the shul. The isha yichoyla la'azur shetovi atinik ad beis haknesses, ve'ishi yikach mimena. The lady is not supposed to bring the baby into the shul. She's supposed to bring the baby to the door, And then at the door, the man brings the baby the rest of the way. I don't know how many shuls are makbid on this. They don't let the lady in. I think a lot of the ladies just feel uncomfortable. They don't. They feel weird walking into the men's section, but that's a halacha, zok Reb Aaron. The dayuk lehedja ad basic nesses, v'loy le basic nesses. They're not supposed to come in. Harisha av le mitzvahs mila v'isha yichidah mesayes la mitzvahs ubal huas andik. Zok Reb Aaron, she's not coming in just to put on a show. She's coming in to help a mitzvah. Nonetheless, loy tikonis the basic ness. We're very strict about who comes into the shul. So Zok Reb Aaron, you see that we treat the basic nesses with a lot of respect when it comes to intermingling and opposite genders. Then he goes even further. This is the creative thinking of Reb Aaron Cutler. So Dr. Baron, another reason why you can't have a shul without a mechitza. Number 9, achrei shenogu kein midor dor. Dr. Baron, because mechitza is not a new concept, it's been around for many generations. Afilu ma yomuta mikar, and even if let's say you tell me mechitza is only a chumra. Avla kolparim yesh b'zeh mishum siyog, hari oiv mishum atidash teresinech. Dr. Baron, it's already a minig. Became a minig. It's a minig in shuls to have a mechitza. You can't start changing the minhag. Then he gets really creative about it. Then he says, "Yesh b'zeh mishum oven gezel." If you pull down the mechitza in shul, you're a gazlin. What? How are you a gazlin? Again, because the Baron was writing letters to people who wanted to take down the mechitzas in the Orthodox shul, which was usually the first step in the shul of changing the Orthodox status of the shul, was you bring down the mechitza. So Zok to Baron, why are you a gazlin if you tear down the mechitza? Listen to this. He says, "Ki harbe mehamenadvin," because most of the people who donate money to the shul, "fuulai rubim kikula," most of the people, the binyan basic nesses have nostu al basic nesses kosher. They donated so they can, their money can go to a kosher shul. Al pidin tayr ulvidas chachamim vekavanos l'shem shemayim lias lam schus b'iktosh b'makin kodesh. When I donated money to the shul, Zog de Baron, I donated to be a kosher shul. Now you're going to take the shul and turn it into a apostle shul. I want my money back. Zog de Baron, it's gneva. It's gneva on the money that you took for the donations. Now, obviously, this doesn't work if you're going to start from scratch. Let's say you have a group of Baal Batim who decide they want to build their new shul. They're going to pay for it, and they're going to build it without a mechitza. So there's no gneva. But we're talking about, again, because Reb Aaron is writing his letter for the old shuls in America that had mechitzas. And as the time went on, people decided, we want to take the mechitzas down. So Reb Aaron, you're a ganef. And then he says over here, Bevada yeshtam chevri beisek neses, she yirshuz chusam umikoymis maviseim. And he says, you're doing another thing wrong. A lot of these shuls were inherited from the previous generation. So Dr. Baron, if you inherited a shul, you have to continue using it the way the inheritor gave it to you, which was what? As a shul. So Dr. Baron, you have no permission to take away the mechitza and change its status. Okay? As Dr. Baron, one of his many reasons to why we have to have mechitzas in the shul. Okay? Now let's go to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer lived 1700s. Late 1700s, early 1800s. We know the Chassam Sofer was actively fighting Haskalah in Hungary. That was one of his major campaigns. So you have to understand, a lot of his tshuvas are already written with the undertone of dealing with the Haskalah and all that. So he writes in the tshuva the following idea. It's actually one of the Hashmotas HaTshuvas. He writes this in number 10. He says, "V'atam lozeh ki anu ma'aminim shekol tefilo shevach voido." We believe that every prayer and every shevach voido that we give to Hashem, shemisariv b'machshova hi shumhiru, if it's mixed at all with any ill thoughts, afilu b'ishtoi. You're not thinking about the neighbor's wife, even your own wife, but you're thinking about it in a non-pure. You're thinking about your wife in a, again, it's your wife, so it's okay, but it's wrong time for it. The tefillos don't go up. They don't go up. We as Jews believe that if you're going to have ill thoughts and when the time of prayer, those prayers will not go up like they need to. Again, even if it's about your wife. Because of this, it says, this is why we separate the genders. This is like a noob shot. This is what it means when we talk about histaklus. What's wrong with histaklus? Because you see, then you think, then you feel, it just got ruined. So Dr. Chassam Sofer, we got to get the men away from the women, because if the men see the women, even your own wife. Again, this is even with your own wife. You're going to think thoughts that should not be going through your mind during tefillah, and it ruins the tefillah. That's Dr. Chassam Sofer. Okay. Now, then the Chassam Sofer goes a step further. Then he writes in number 11, the kivan de baranu de kol isha ervo. He says, we have another problem. If you're going to have the men sitting next to the women, imkin hakol hamisalech mezus noshim lezus hanoshim. If you're going to have the women's section next to the men's section, so the women singing in the ladies' section will go into the men's section. You have the same problem. You're sitting right, a lot of the shuls, you have the mechitza, the man sits on one side of the wall, the woman's on the other side of the wall, but you can hear what's going on. Right? In my shul, I always hear the women talk very loudly on the ladies' side. You hear them talking. But what if you hear them singing? Says the Chassam Sofer, that's the problem. So Dr. Chassam Sofer, you got to deal with the ladies' section, you have an issue of the women singing. So in the tshuva from the Svi Deyesh, Reb Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, so the Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg comes to defend this. Now it's interesting, I'm actually reading a fascinating story, a book about Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg's life. Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg is one of my favorite people to talk about because he lived such an interesting life. You know, his background, his Slabodka education, and then his switch over to Europe. He was heavy Eastern European. Then he ended up spending some time in Germany, so he got learned the style of Germany. But one of the things that shocked him when he came from Eastern Europe to Germany was the fact that at the Shabbos table, the girls all used to sing. It was normal. All the Orthodox homes in Germany, even when you were a guest, the girls all sang Zmiris. And this initially was a big shock to him, a culture shock, when he came from Eastern Europe to see this in Germany. So, that with that background, you can appreciate the Svi Deyesh Shuvah. So the Svi Deyesh is about warning, what do we do with the women singing in shul? So it's like the Svi Deyesh, Umasha Hanaris Mispalas Blakol Rom, not even singing, but they daven loudly. Zog the Svi Deyesh, Ey Mekach Klum, it's not a problem. Why not? Hukvar Hetiru Gudeli Ashkenaz B'Seichem Agen B'Ezriel Haldesheimer. He said, because you see already, Gedolei Ashkenaz means literally the German Rabbonim. They were moderate. Why? La'anoshim l'anoshim l'zamer b'yachet zmiris. That already the German Rabbonim were moderate men and women to sing zmiris together. Why? Because either trei koli loy mishtamoy, because it's many voices, or zmiris kodesh emivim l'heru aviris. Zogt Rabbi Zviel Haldesheimer, is they're not singing, you know, the national anthem. They're singing songs of zmiris Shabbos. So that doesn't bring a person to hear. It's a big chiddush. Pashim shat koli she'ervas, no matter what she sings. So Zokter Bezriel Haldesheimer, again, the backdrop was when Bechil Yaakov came to Germany, he saw that everyone was doing this, and I guess he finally spoke to Bezriel Haldesheimer and he explained it to him. So Zokter Svi Deyesh, I'm not worried about the women singing. That's not a problem. But the Chassam Sofer,
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Just to let you know that Reb Shlomo Zalman also paskin like this. I'll tell you a quick story, if people don't mind listening. This came up many years ago.
Yeah.
There's a school, Chorev, in Bayit Vagan, and it was a girls' school, and it became there was a whole thing that the girls were singing, and they had with the father, and this and that, and at that time, Reb Shlomo Zalman was in Kol Torah. So they asked the Mishaila, you know, are the women allowed to sing, put on a production? You know, they're not dancing or anything, but are they allowed to sing? You know, if they're all singing together, nobody has a solo and stuff like that. You know, just singing together. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Paskin, I'm trying to think of what year this was. It was either in the late 70s or early 80s. I can't remember. I think late 70s, early 80s. And Reb Shlomo Zalman said, Trei Kol Lo Mishtamim. And the girls could sing and the fathers could come.
Yeah, it's a chiddush. They say over a story with Reb Baruch Ber. Reb Baruch Ber, when he was in America, he stayed by Reb Pinchas Taitz's father-in-law, Rabbi Prail, who was a Rav then, was one of the early Rabbanim before Rabbi Taitz took over Elizabeth. So Rabbi Prail was the rabbi there. And when he came to the house, all the Prail girls, there was I think quite a few girls, they wanted to sing Zmiris. And they asked Reb Baruch Ber, can they sing Zmiris for them at the table? And Reb Baruch Ber also seemingly was matter like this psak, that it's okay, it's, you know, Zmiris, this, that, and the other. But Yishabas come up a lot. Very often you have people, you know, you have guests over at Yishabas meal. The girls want to sing. So, again, it's a shiur for a different time. It's even more touchy than the topic of Mechitza is that topic. But it's Negeya. It's quite Negeya Halacha L'maaseh. But in any case, as I zok the Svi Deyesh. Now, let's look at a tshuva from the Maram Shik. We know the Maram Shik was the prized Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. He was one of the great Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. The Maram Shik, now we're already going into the mid-1800s. Now, the reason why I put this tshuva here is just to show you how seriously the Gedolei Acharonim took the role of Mechitza. Even though we're still struggling with exactly the most clearest of Mekar. So the Maram Shik was someone asked the Maram Shik the following Shaila. I apologize that the print is not great, but I don't know if they reprinted the Tshuvas Maram Shik. They reprinted the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. That they did do, but I don't know if they got around to reprinting the Tshuvas and the Maram Shik. Maybe that they didn't get around to doing yet. But in any case, the Maram Shik was asked the following shayla. He was asked that there's a certain kehillah, Arato hayuchanu seim segurim b'Shabbos, that the Rav was able to keep the Balabatim from going to work on Shabbos. They closed their stores on Shabbos. B'Shabbos Kodesh. V'ato eze rishoyim. Shilchu yad lahoyris be'ezras noshim. Dover hamafsig bein ezras noshim. Le'ezras anoshim. Some Russia decided he wants no more mechitza. He wants to bring down the mechitza. Shaloi, okay. Ul'haris v'rebi yoyim ha'ashe be'ezras be'yachazok. Ochel, okay, fine. He says, I know I have to fight them. But they told me, V'harishoyim omru, she'yifrishu atzve me'akohol, v'tekev yiftuchu chanusim. These Rishoyim told me that if Rabbi, if you don't let us take down the Mechitza, we're all opening up our stores on Shabbos. That's a doozy of a shayla. Because on one hand, you say to yourself, okay, how important is Mechitza? Is it worth causing people to mechal Shabbos? So I would have paskined. I would have said, come on, you got to balance the two things out. If they're going to, don't have a Mechitza. No, what's a shlacht? Okay, there's no, we haven't yet found the source for it yet. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. And again, the Chassam Sofer, the Rav Shik didn't have Rav Moshe. He didn't have Rav Aaron Cutler's letter that we have. So we would have said, there's no Gemara for it, there's no Zayin Shulchan Aruch. We know Chil Shabbos is us. We know working on Shabbos is us. But listen to what the Maram Shik said to them. It's a Gevaldik. The Maram Shik writes back that this is your Shiloh. It's a very heavy Shiloh. He says, V'hem yolchu la'azoza alito, huh? So he says over here, B'ktsara v'hine chalilo lochem l'achshiram l'ishtoik al da'as ha'pritza sh'osu ha'chatzufim heim. Ki medina onam u'chuyovim la'azayz hefzik bein ezras noshim le'ezras noshim. Zoktem Ram Shik, mechitza is not a chumra, it's me'ikar adin. Kimo yishohoyu b'beis ha'migdash ezras noshim l'chud ve'ezras anoshim l'chud. Just like in the beis ha'migdash there were separate rooms. And when the women and the men had to be in the same room, they built a balcony. Dr. Sam Seifer, he quotes the whole raid that we saw. He says over here, he quotes, so he says like this. You have to make a macha. And Dr. Sam Seifer, if you don't make a protest, you're in a violation of the mitzvah of Echeach Techeach. You can't take this sinning down. He says, Va'afilu heim. And even if they talk a go and open up their stores on Shabbos, so it be. So be it. Doesn't matter. Says the Maram Shik, you have absolutely no permission to take this sinning down. You need to fight them till the end. Says the Maram Shik, and on top of that, he says, De'ein omru odom chatoi b'shul sh'yizka chavercha. You're not allowed to tell him, don't do this so to save you for something else. This is wrong. We got to keep the mechitza up. Then he says it's going to be a chil Hashem if we start breaking down the mechitzas. So Zokta Maram Shik, you got to keep the mechitzas up because they're not a chumrah. They're me'ikar adin, even if it goes up against people going to be mechal of the Shabbos. So you see that this is a serious thing, this mechitza in shul. So I photocopied over here an interesting letter that came out in the year Tofresh Peivav. Tofresh, but this is from the Igeris Reb Chaim Moizer, from Reb Chaim Moizer's letters. This is the year Tofresh Peivav, which is 1926. There was a letter written by the Gedolim of Europe for the Jews in America. And they write the following. Kislev Tofresh Peivav. Kasher noidanu asher la'achreina tenuas ha-reformer ha-cholo l'achreid oti libotik knesiyas. I see there's this problem called the reform, that they're slowly breaking away and chipping away at our shuls. The congregations, okay, the chevros anotelos la'asmem ha-shem orthodox, and those that call themselves Orthodox, boines bate kinesias le mechitza. They're building shuls without mechitzas. So what do they write in this letter? A whole list of rules. Now, there's another letter which I didn't photocopy, which came out in 1920. In 1920, they wanted to have separate seating. They wanted to have separate seating. And that all the Gdolim blasted again in 1920. Now in 1926, they want to build it also. They want to build a shul without a mechitza. And they responded like this. Beis HaKnesses sheim ha-mechitza einoi Beis HaKnesses kosher. Val pi adin osur le'espalul bo. Chiddush number one is that a shul without a mechitza is not a shul. And you're not allowed to daven there. Chiddush number two. Achenu b'nei Yisrael hadorim b'shchun sheim ha-beis HaKnesses kosher mutav lahem l'sad minyan b'beis prati. Make a private minyan in your house. imefsha. V'miefsha hu adover az mutav lahem l'spal b'yichidus b'beisam. Zog de'ach g'doylim, it's better to daven b'yichidus than to daven in a shul without a mechitza. Under no circumstance are you permitted to daven a shul without a mechitza. Three, also lias cheve be congregation shei mechitza beis knesset shulva. You're not allowed to be part of a congregation that does not have a mechitza. For also litmech bo lebe moving kasmi lebe moving musari. You can't donate. You can't have anything to do with a shul that does not have a mechitza. Now the $1 million question: how high should the mechitza be? This is the beauty of the gedolim. Rechava gavoya the godlos al mechitza tzorich lias betoyim ledin ubehaskim rabbanim muvakim. Politically correct, you got to ask the experts. That's not our geschäft. We're not telling you how high the mechitza has to be. But we are telling you, you must have mechitza. Now, who signed this letter? We were asked by our brothers in America to guard the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, and we're signing on this. And we hope and we pray that the Jews in America will listen to us. Who signed this? Yisrael Meir HaKoyin, the Chavetz Chaim. Avram Dov Shapiro, that's the Dvar Avram. Meir HaRak, that was the great of Meir HaRak, was one of the great Hungarian Galiciana Gedolim. Reb Chaim Oizer, look, just look at the different parts of the world over here. We have so far, we have Radin, we have Kovna, we have Hungary, Galicia, we have Reb Chaim Oizer in Polish Lithuania, Yitzchak Yeruchim Diskin, Yerushalayim, Avim Yitzchak HaKoyin, and last but not least, with Meir Hildesheimer from Berlin. The big players of that time in history all signed this letter that a shul without a mechitza is not a shul. 1926. There's a fascinating rule that Rabbi Soloveitchik would tell people, and it's recorded in many places in his Sfarim. I took one of them from Divrei HaRav, number 16. Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's known, he had a campaign, he had a war, a battle against shuls that did not have mechitzas. He even printed his opinion in the newspapers. Let's say there's only one shul in the neighborhood, and that shul has no mechitza, and that's where they're blowing the shofar. Said Rabbi Soloveitchik, "Min hanochin liyishor bebayis velvosay al mitzvah shofar." It's better to forgo hearing the shofar than to go hear the shofar in a shul without a mechitza. Why? Because if you're going to go there, omnam yikayim mitzvah shofar, you'll be kayim the mitzvah. Rabbi Soloveitchik was of the opinion that one of the reasons that it's wrong not to have a mechitza besides or perhaps the Gemara and Sukkah is because you're copying the goyim. It used to be in the churches, way back when, they used to have separate seating also. And then they also started to make it mixed and make it one big thing. So says Rabbi Soloveitchik that when you're trying to have no mechitza, what are you really trying to do? You're trying to be like the goyim. You're trying to take the Goyish style and bring it to our, which Rabbi Soloveitchik held, quotes a Ramban. And the Ramban says that's in a violation of Loi Sasun Kein Hashem Lekecha. Don't bring the outside ideas to bring him into shul. Don't learn from the Goyim of how, and bring it to serve Hashem. That's wrong. Loi Sasun Kein Hashem Lekecha. So therefore, Zogt Rabbi Soloveitchik, what are your options? Going to shul, so you'll hear the shofar, you'll be Mekayim a Mitzvah Saseh, but you'll be over a Mitzvah Loi Saseh. So therefore, he paskind. Better ach boy says man yava yohiver alav. Then yisha bebeis, if you stay home, yivatlos mitzvah shofar. So you'll be mevatl a mitzvah sase. Ach lo yaver ba'alav, and now you won't be over alav. Umin hanochon loymar bechi agavno shev al tasa odiv. So Rabbi Soloveitchik,
why did you say it's a mitzvah b'avera? Because it's mamish b'vatzachas.
Not necessarily b'vatzachas, because the mitzvah is the avera is first. It's the moment you step into the shul, it's ready the avera. The mitzvah is not until the blow.
It's not like mila,
it's not clear. Again, we could probably debate it from a more lumbish standpoint. But I'm not sure why you can't just get the Baltic to come to the house and blow. Okay, whatever the story was over there. Today, none of these things. Today, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has a shofar. Back then, there wasn't so many. You know, it's a different story. But this was a gewaltig chiddush from Rabbi Soloveitchik that he held. It's mamish wrong, osur gomer, just to be in the shul, and it's worth giving up the mitzvah of shofar. That's one chiddush.
You know, this window is open, and you sit outside. Can you be in kind of mitzvah?
Possibly, if they have in mind to be might to you, and there's nothing that interrupts it, yeah, very possible.
The, 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 this re- we suppose that there are women physically there, or even if they're not?
We're going to talk about that more next week. Of what happens if there's no mechitza, but there's no women either. Right? You have a lot of these shuls that are very short on space. So they don't really put up a mechitza, but women don't really come. And when the women come, they kind of like, oh, you know, make some form of a makeshift. Bli Neder, we'll talk more about that hopefully next week. Now let's look at another chiddush from Rabbi Soloveitchik. V'hoyse mishpacha b'Detroit, she'spalalo b'beis haknesses conservative. There was a family in Detroit that used to daven in the conservative synagogue. Ashehayu b'snif shel argon hakiruv. That they had boy sniff shall argon akir of NCSY. They had something, you know. Haben abuchor shalahem eskariv l'toril mitzvus. They had an older son who became from who shalchu lumad b'yeshiva, and they sent him to yeshiva. V'niyah leben teira amiti. Taka became a ben teira. Benom hatzoyir. They had a younger son. Omad lechageg es bar mitzvah shalai b'shavus b'oise b'isek nesis. And they wanted to have the younger son's bar mitzvah is in the conservative shul that obviously has no mechitza. V'haben hamugbar shalas rabbeinu, and the older son, who's now a ben taira, he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, what's he supposed to do? His brother's bar mitzvah is in the shul with no mechitza. He can't not go up to his brother's bar mitzvah. What do you do? So Rabbi Soloveitchik answered the following. Rabbeinu heishiv lo shalo yispal sham. So first of all, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, don't daven there. El yispal b'mokim achi b'shabas v'vayki b'shas muktemis. Daven in another shul earlier. V'lo yasa l'sham b'rechav. Don't go there in a car. They live very far away. Okay, don't take a car ride. You should walk. When you're there, you cannot daven anything with them. You can't even answer Amen Yeshmei Rabbo. Now, just put the two shtickles from Rabbi Soloveitchik back to back. Before, Rabbi Soloveitchik told us, you're not allowed to go into the shul to hear shofar. Here he says, you got to go to the bar mitzvah. So you're allowed to go into the shul, but you're not allowed to partake in any of the davening. So he writes, Ule b'soif, af oysa haben hatzori lomad b'yeshiva. What's the end of the story? That even the second son, he also became from Nasa leben teira amiti. A nice ending to the story. That even the younger son also became a frumer, and he ended up living an Orthodox life. But here Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you gotta go to the bar mitzvah, you gotta go. But he said, you're not allowed to answer anything. You can't show any connection to the davening that's taking place in the shul without a mechitza.
It also shows you the godless of Soloveitchik, that for family,
This is what makes Gedolim Gedolim. They have to know how to answer these questions. These are very difficult questions that are not just, you know, halachas and shulchan aruch. There's a lot that goes into understanding people and understanding psyche that you have to know how to decide. One last fascinating story from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Not one last one, we have two more, but the next one. This is in B'pnini Harav. There was a story with one of the Talmidim. Shehoisela is damnus l'shamish kerav v'esekneses orthodoxy. Pennsylvania. He was offered a shteller, a job, in an Orthodox shul in Pennsylvania, rak liyomim neroim. Only for yom neroim. Ularviach bezeskum hagun. They pay him nicely. He'd be paid just for the yom neroim. Elo sheshoma shamechitza shoma hoisik tzas p'chusa me'abom inches. But he heard that the mechitza is a little less than 40 inches. Now, again, Beli Neder next week will crunch the numbers to how high the mechitza should be, but less than 40 inches is significantly low. Significantly low. So he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik what to do. V'shoy leitza mirabeinu. Im l'kach eses ha-misara, shay, take the job or not. It's a good job. You know, the guy needs the experience, he needs the money, it's just for the yom neroim, should he take the job or not? V'heishiv she'enem min ha-nochel l'nitzoye l'sham. Shouldn't travel there. Okay? Shouldn't go. V'shoalu ha-yisar ha-tamis, ha-tamin asim, shalei oimim b'shimcha she'masik l'mechitza sh'tei bas yudal t'vachim. V'hainu lamed vav inches. But I thought Rebbe holds that you only need 36 inches for a kosher mechitza. Now 36 inches is pretty low. So he writes, this is 40 inches. So the sheet toscha, it's a kosher mechitza. So why is Rebbe telling me not to go? So he says, v'heishiv emes kenadover, achani mili b'rav shebedayt aliyah shoma meshach kolshan. That's if the Rav is going to be there the whole year. And he's going to constantly be pumping the balabatim with musr. Meaning the guy's going there to make a difference. You're going for a few days. You're a visitor. You're not going to really make such an impression on the people. You're not that broke. Because you're a bocher. You don't need to pay, you know, for your wife and kids. The garbe beis harav, you live in your parents' house. It's not correct to do. Again, you see the godless of Rabbi Soloveitchik, how each case he had to weigh. But in each case, you see the chaymer that he took for someone to go into a shul that was not a mechitza, or not even a questionable mechitza. Now, many of us would have said, what do you mean? You'll make a difference, you'll be makar of them, you could put it on your resume, you could show that you were a rabbi for you if you did. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, no, it's not right. It's not right, it's not right. I meant it. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Joel. There were three shuls that I know of in the outskirts of Boston.
Yeah.
Where there weren't very many from people that the Rav allowed mechitza very close to the 36 inches.
That he did or did not?
He did.
He did allow it, right. Really?
Because there were almost no Shomer Shabbos people there.
Wow.
For whatever reason.
He supposedly allowed it for Lincoln's Way Synagogue also initially.
Oh, really? Yeah, so Blinaida we'll get more next week into the measurements. If I'm not mistaken, I think I remember hearing from my mother many times that when my grandfather took, he was a Talmud Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he took various shtelers throughout the 1950s and 1960s, I think Rabbi Soloveitchik told him that you can only stay there as long as there's a mechitza. The moment the mechitza goes, you have to give up the job. And many shuls, my grandfather Taka left because of this rule. Rabbi Soloveitchik told him that the moment they get rid of the mechitza, you got to go also. That's the end of... And again, it's not like today, the jobs were very few in between. And this is something Rabbi Soloveitchik is clear from his writings and those who spoke to him. He was very, very serious about the importance of the mechitza. Now, with that backdrop... Yeah.
By the way, Rabbi, just to let you know, in Chicago there was a thing, what's called traditional synagogues.
Uh-huh.
They think that they're Orthodox. The only thing is that they use a microphone and they wouldn't use and they didn't have a mechitza. But the davening wasn't like the conservative or nothing else. This was called traditional. And a lot of Talmidim from YU became the Rabbanim there.
Yes.
And he said to them, he said, listen, he gave him a certain amount of time. He said, as far as if he is,
very good.
You know, you don't speak directly into the microphone and this and that. And I think, I don't remember if the amount was 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was. If you feel you can turn them over, unfortunately, a lot of them ended up staying for 20, 30 years and they never ended up asking.
So I listened to a shiur on YU Torah from Rabbi Stephen Przanski. Well, he talks about this at length, where he mentions that there were many Talmidim from Rabbi Soloveitchik, or Talmidim from YU, that were told this idea that they can go with a certain amount of time. He quotes a certain Gadol that was the head of the CRC, Michael, maybe you know him, before Rabbi Schwartz took over, I forgot his name, and supposedly he was matir some of these shuls without a kosher mechitza, because he felt that...
I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik may have been the place beforehand, I'm not sure.
He quoted someone else, not Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he quoted someone else, I don't know, he told me it was a big... He said it was a big Talmid Chacham, and he had quite a few shuls that people were rabbanim of that were not kosher mechitzas, and they felt, b'shvil hakirov, it's worth it to keep these shuls rolling, and many kids from those shuls, Taka turned out to be from. So this was always a hot... It's always a tough call to how to balance all these things. Now with that backdrop, we look at number 19. The Sefer Yesoidi Yeshurim was written by Reb Gedalia Felder. Gedalia Felder was the father of Reb Aaron Felder. Reb Gedalia Felder was a Rav in Toronto. His son Reb Aaron Felder was a Rav in Philadelphia. Nebuch was Nifter a few years ago, not so old, but he was Nifter. So he writes like this. V'hinei Rabim Tumuim. Many people are bothered with Shoilim. Madua veloma lo hisker haramam v'ashulchan aruch klum misidurai hapanimi shal beis hakneses b'keshel mechitza mafsekes b'nezes nashon l'nashon. We spent the last 53 minutes discussing the importance given to the mechitza. How the Maram Shik told someone that it's worth it to keep the mechitza and they'll go be mechal Shabbos. How Rabbi Soloveitchik told people not to go blow Shofar. That was all a build-up. What was the build-up to? This kasha. I was going to open up with this kasha, but I thought it would be strange to open up with a relatively contemporary sefer. So we started with the Gemara. But for Rabbi Felder, I don't get it. It's not anywhere in the pages of Halacha. And it's treated with such severity. What's pshat? He says, Lefi and his daiti nir loyma tamadov. He says, I'll tell you the pshat. B'nei a heter, shahoyse dover, hayedu l'chol om l'chein lo yiskiru adover. It's so simple, it doesn't need to be written. That's the answer. It's so pashit, it's so ingrained, it's such a given that you need to have a mechitza, there's no need for the Shulchan Aruch to write it. Okay? Where else do we find this? He quotes the Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis, Bekesha l'sidr ha'tfilah v'atfilin. Right, with the question of we have a machoikis, how to arrange the tefillin. Rashi Abeinu Tam. Why didn't the Gemara just do us a favor and tell us how to do it? Why didn't the Gemara just tell us instead of us fighting about it? So says the Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis, fine. Now he wants to tie in. He says, people want to tie in. You know why there was no talk about mechitza? It was never in a geya. Women never came to shul. Women coming to shul is a modern development. So he says it's absolutely not historically true. Why? They're Gemaras, there's Yushalmis, the Noshim Bol, the basic Nessus. The women used to come to Shul. First, he quotes the Gemara in Saita about a certain Almona that used to come in the neighborhood and used to daven by Rabbi Yochim. Then there's Yushalmi that says, if you have a city that's full of Kehanim, so who's going to answer to the Duchnim? So the Yushalmi says, the women and the children will be the answers. So Zogdi Abai Felder, you see, that this idea that women never used to come to shul is just not historically correct. Now,
why can't we just say that it's we see in the base of Migdash there was an Ezra Snashim?
Oh, good. That's again. So the argument is, well, my shul is not. That's Rabbi Aaron Cutler's starting point.
That's your kal v'chomer.
Exactly. Right. That's it. So this is Rabbi Felder's pshat. Now I want to return to Rabbi Felder's argument in a second, where he makes the argument that it's just not historically correct to say that the reason why there's no talk about mechitzah is because women never came to shul. That is historically not correct. But before we get to that, let's just take another source about why there's no talk about mechitzahs in the shul from the Tzitz Eliezer number 20. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, "V'zeh shlo iniska b'shulchan aruch medin asiyas mechitzah bein besek nesses la'ezves nashim hupnei she'oz lo yhoyisa kayemes boi kazois bechlal." There was never an issue with mechitzahs. They always had these huge separations between men and women. The only problem you have with a mechitza is when you have one big room and you want to split the room. Old shuls were built separate rooms for men and women. And this can shaila about mechitza. Mechitza is only a shaila when you have a room where you want to split into two. They used to have viber shuls, separate shuls, separate rooms. Someone told me in Eretz Yisrael you still have this today. They're mamish separate rooms, walls in between. And therefore, there was never a shayla of how high the mechitza is. We don't know how high. It's not the gay, yet the women are in a separate room. And therefore, says the Tzitz Eliezer, that's why none of these shaylas were ever relevant to Lamaisa, because they had separation with mamish walls and they had no issues. Now, fine, that's probably historically correct as well. Now, is there any mention in Rishonim about the concept of mechitza? So the best to my knowledge, there's a Mordechai. The Mordechai lived in Germany in the late 13th century, end of the 1200s. There's actually a whole story about the Mordechai. The Mordechai was actually murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem, with his wife and five children in the city of Nuremberg, Germany. He was murdered by a mob of people, which was obviously very common at that time throughout history. He was actually murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem, with his family. So the Mordechai, we all know the Mordechai, is the popular commentary in the back of the Gemara. He was one of the Rishonim. So he writes like this. He's talking about a shayla in Hilchos Shabbos, about a mechitza, about opening a mechitza, closing a mechitza. So he writes that there's a mechitza that's made litznias. What's a mechitza made litznias? Dr. Mordechai number 21. Avo mechitza sho'osui litznias ba'al momoter. Kigoin mechitza sho'osui mishas ha'drosha bein anoshim lenoshim. A mechitza was something that used to be put up during the time of a drosha, between the men and the women, la'asoyse b'Shabbos. So it's interesting, he doesn't use it in the context of davening. He uses it, but rather in the context of some form of a Shabbos drasha. There used to be some form of a speech between the rabbi, from the rabbi, that's when they used to put up a mechitza between the men and the women. This is the earliest acknowledgement, well, there might be an earlier one in Gemara and Kiddushin, but this is, again, it's not used in the context of davening. It's used actually in the context of a speech, which again, most places today don't have a mechitza for speeches, which we'll have to get to B'l'Neder next week. Then the Tzitz Eliezer quotes from Reb Chatzkel Abramsky. He writes over number 22 there. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky wanted to say also the same kasha about what's the source for mechitza in shul. So Reb Chatzkel Abramsky would say it's from this Mordechai. Why? He says, you see that when the rabbi used to give a drasha, he says, "Hare demidish emesasim anoshim anoshim yachafilu shah drasha shu arai." You see that even when the men and women come together, even if it's for a short time, you need to have a mechitza. Therefore, Zok Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, Kol Shekein, you need to have mechitza in shul. When that's for a longer period of time, and that's for, it's kavua, it happens all the time. So Reb Chaskel Abramsky says that he thinks the makor for mechitza is a kol shekhin from this Mordechai. You see from the Mordechai that when men and women used to come together for a shir, for an arai, a non-kavuadic experience, you need to have a mechitza. So Kolshki, when you're coming together week after week, time after time, you thought you need to have a mechitza.
Now, so technically what everybody's saying, I know we're talking about a shul, but for instance, after a chuppah, all the men davening in the room with...
We're going to get to that. Belina had the next week, we have to deal with that. We need to deal with that issue.
Isn't that Rav Moshe has a tshuva, the same thing with Beis Avos, as long as it's
Yes. We'll see Rav Moshe's heter. We'll see other heter. But I'm just trying to bring out the point in theory, and we'll see Belina the next week. If you think about it, when was the last time you go to a levaya and there's no mechitza down the middle? None of them have mechitza down the middle. What was the makar for needing mechitza? What?
That's only by the Beis Akfaris, no, by the Kaddish. What's the problem in a basic forest?
The whole mikar for needing a mechitza was from the levaya. The Gemara told us in Sukkah that at the time of a
hespeda. Didn't we learn now from Simchas Beis Hashoeva?
But Simchas Beis Hashoeva learned it out from the case of hespedim. That was the mikar of the importance of having a mechitza, and that's the one place where we don't have mechitzas. Okay, we'll have to get to that. Blina, next.
So in my family, the women are not allowed to come to the basic forest.
Okay, so that solves the problem. One of the many people have a minhag that the women don't go to. They don't go at all. No, but I'm talking about not in the basic. I mean, they don't. I'm talking about at the levaya in the chapel.
But every chapel has a mechitza.
There's separate seating. There's no wall down the middle.
They don't have a boulevard. At Boulevard, they don't have a
most of the ones that I've been to, they just have separate seating.
So the ones in Borough Park have it.
That could be. I'm not disagreeing. But I'm talking about the ones, you know, the ones most of us frequent.
The one on 39th and 14th.
Good. 14th. So that makes sense. Now we understand why. Okay, well, I don't want to get sidetracked because I want to just wrap this up because, again, we're already over our time limit. But I just want to go back to prove what Rabbi Felder pointed out. I don't believe it's true that women used to not go to shul. I think women used to go to shul back then also. What's my proof? Number 23 is Ramon Shulchan Aruch. We've spoken about this in the past. The Ramon writes, Yesha kasu shein le'isha nida b'mei riyasa l'ikonis le'basic nesis. That a woman during her days of bleeding should not go into a shul, oy le'sbal or daven, oy le'haskar Hashem, or to say Hashem's name, oy liga b'sefer, or touch a sefer. V'yesha imim shemuteres b'chol, we hold it's mutav v'chein ikar. Aval aminig min desil, but the practice is, kisvar ha'rishayna. We go like the first practice. But if they're ready during their seven clean years, it's mutter. Even if you're machmir, but during the Yom Neroim, they're allowed to come to shul. Now, so what do you see from this whole Ramah? That women used to go to shul. It's clear. This whole halacha is only in a gift. The women come to shul. If they don't come to shul, what's this whole halacha? So we see that the women used to come to shul. One last raya from
where's this Ramah Simon?
Peiches and Arachayim. Just listen to this Messiah's Moshe. Very cute. He writes like this, V'hoisev Rabbeinu. They asked Rav Moshe about a shul that doesn't have a mechitza, but the women don't really come that often. That's not negev for that, but I want to just read what Rav Moshe wrote back. He writes like this, Shekinir Beis HaKnesses Zeh She'im B'mechitza Ein Anoshen Bois Harbel Tefila K'may Harbel Mekayim Meseyein. Women don't come to shul like they don't come many places. Then he writes, someone told Rav Moshe, She'esh Mekayim She'esh Harbel Anoshem Sidkayis. Someone told Rav Moshe, but we have very religious women. She'boz Kol Shabbos LeBeis HaKnesses. Kach om Rabbeinu Bechiach. Moshe said it like a joking way. Why? V'hoisef, shebemokim sheberussia. Shoy anoshim yoisit zitkani yois. Zot Moshe, where I lived in Russia, where Moshe was a rav in Russia for many years, until it was too much and he had to leave. Says Moshe, where I was in Russia, and the women were very frum, lo haya bois bekvias lebeis haknesses, rach lepomim. The women didn't come to shul that often. Rach lepomim, the kaddish is the chodesh. They'd come for Shabbos mevarchim. Ulepomim biyomtif. The pashut hain lohayu yichayus lava. They couldn't come. Ki hain hayu trudis bialdeyen ubishar tirdis abayis. They were busy with the kids. Vayu mispalalas oz bebeisan im hoysel ham yichayus. They were diving at home if they could. Virag zikenis shalayu le malasis hayu boys. Who would come to shul? The old ladies. They never had little kids at home. They would come to shul. Ukinira achshir dara. The Gemara says in Yevamis that we don't get frumer as we the generations go on. We get less frum. Here also, you got to tell me that what? That today the American women are firmer than the women in Russia? Now, the simple answer was, I don't know if they had an Erev. And they didn't have youth groups to watch the kids so the women can daven. But the Ramesha was saying that back in Europe, it was not very popular. Not that the women didn't go at all, but it was only the older women. The older women, they really didn't have to worry about the kids. They used to go to shul. Okay, so that's a question we could debate about the popularity of women coming to shul. But again, women definitely came. It wasn't maybe large numbers. It wasn't like today where you have, you know, women coming. And again, I just want to use this as an opportunity to, I always point this out, shul is not supposed to be a babysitting service for the kids. If you're going to bring your kids and it's going to stir everyone, you shouldn't come to shul. But if a lady has older kids, avada, she should come to shul. Okay, so believe that the next week we're going to start talking about the... Now, okay, so now we basically feel that we understand the background of mechitza. So now we got to talk about the actual physical layout of the mechitza. How high? Can it be see-through? Can it have cracks? Can it have holes? Can it be a balcony? Believe neither, that we'll get into a mitzvah next week, the real political part of how much and how high. But this was just to bring out the chashivas ha'inyan, the importance of having a mechitza. And believe neither, next week we'll talk about the actual pratim of the mechitza and halach l'mais of when and what situations is a mechitza needed. Okay. Sorry, I went a little over.